हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 4 Adhikarna 2, The Glories of the Eternal Associates of Krishna. Page 90. Sthena means a person who steals others' wealth. The attachment and other material propensities found in material persons are thieves as long as these persons do not completely offer themselves to you. Yavadnate janaha. When they offer themselves to you, their attachment becomes fixed in you. Since that attachment is not material, it is not thievery, but the form of highest bliss. Right? So, whatever we're attached to here, that steals our energy. Because we're attached to the material world, you know, either gross or subtle, that takes our energy. So, since the jiva is by nature a servant, and is going to be attached to things, therefore then, by being attached to the material energy is like thief, it just takes all the energy. It's not that it gives any energy. Dead matter doesn't offer anything. Right? But when you become attached to Krishna, and then everything is connected to Krishna, that attachment then gives the highest bliss. It's not material. It's spiritual. Because that's the nature of the soul, then you have the proper reciprocation. But on the material platform, there isn't actually a proper reciprocation. Right, because you can't. It's unconscious, and you're conscious. So that therefore the Brajavasis, they're fully absorbed. The Lord is the highest bliss, even though they appear as grihasthas and this and that and doing all their things. But all that's seen in the context of the Lord. Nothing's seen separate from the Lord. Thus, Prahlad says, "Ya pritir avivekanam vishayeshvanapayini." Tvam anu smaratasa me hridayan na paras na par hridayan na pasarpatu. With remembrance of you, may the attraction for you in my heart, which for the foolish is absorbed in material objects, never leave my heart. Vishnu Purana 1:20-19. So the attraction that is there, may that be for you and not for something else. Because there's attraction in the heart of the jiva. Right? They're an individual. They have attraction. So now, that's being focused on the Lord, then it's transcendental. But if it's focused on the material energy, then it's not. Does that make sense? So, if it's there to please Krishna, then there's no problem. But if it's not for pleasing Krishna, it will always be a problem. If sadhakas are of this nature, what can be said of the eternal attachment of inhabitants of Gokula, since they have strong affection for Krishna? Thus it is said, Iti nanda dayo gopa krishna rama katam muda kuravanto uramananascha navinam bhava vedanam. In this way, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and played with them. They never perceived material tribulation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.58. So, we generally have a tendency to look at it, you know, just because of the conditioning, right? Because conditioning means you leave out Krishna, so all you have is the situation, and then that knowledge and attitude and skills in which you deal with that situation. That's all you have. You know, we say we get results, but it's just transformation of those things. results are supposed to give us happiness. Right? But here they don't, because they can't. Right? So then, the inhabitants of Braja, that attack, it's about Krishna. So the attachment is actually the main thing. Where do you apply the attachment? So the attachment is to Krishna. So therefore, then, they're trying to please Krishna, serving Krishna. But our attachment is to material energy, so we serve material energy. Because wherever your attachment is, that's where you're served. You know, there's no such thing as, I'm the enjoyer. But that's why we're here. I'm the controller and enjoyer. But that's not a reality. You know, so the need for power, the need for, you know, facility, enjoyment, all these things, these aren't a reality for the soul. They have a minute amount, but the amount is, how is it working out for anybody? It, literally, in history, right? You spend how many years of your life going to school learning history? How did it work out for anybody? Right? All the big persons, they're all dead. You know, even while you're reading the history, they're dead. Right? You know, it's just like Caesar. If there's one thing you remember about what he said, you know, what's it going to be? Right? Et tu, Brute? You know? You know? But what was he trying to do? Right? Vidi, vidi, vici. But how did that work out? Et tu, Brute. You know? And that basically sums up a Roman history, right? Okay. You know, Napoleon, you know. I'm not sure how good horse urine is for your health, but, you know, he got to, you know, check it out. You know, so that's the whole thing. How does it work out for anybody? You know? So that's the whole point. You know, what happened to Gandhi? What happened to John F. Kennedy? You know, and these were people who were popular, leading, you know, doing something supposedly good for the world. Yes.
Also, we see that this attachment of devotees, which is their particular bhava for the Supreme Lord, that is what is consistent all throughout. Because of that, they had this particular attachment and they relate to Krishna in a specific way. So whether the leela is prakat leela, aprakat leela, this attachment is what is consistent and all the way through constant.
Yes.
So otherwise the pastimes also change, and then the nature, I mean the...
If the attachment changes, the pastimes will change.
What you can say, the total encompassment of the pastimes is greater in Aprakat Leela, and in Aprakat Leela also, in Vrindavan, there is majesty is also manifest fully. So in one sense, it's of a different kind in itself, from Prakat and Aprakat. And also in Prakat Leela, then Krishna performs some pastimes way which are not generally seen in Aprakat Leela. So, but whatever is the nature of pastimes everywhere, anything, this particular attachment of
devotees, that's
the consistent and constant thing.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the thing is, the focus is on where's the attachment. Right? Because we're looking at it, you'll be detached from the material world, you have the knowledge, you know, the things and that, you use the knowledge and skills, you know, like that, which is good, because it's Sachi and Ananda. But the point is the result actually comes from the Ananda aspect, not from Sat-Chit, because otherwise we're working with Sat-Chit here plenty, and as we said, who's getting the results? Who's becoming happy? You know what I'm saying? Like you said, Caesar, as far as power, he, you know, half of Europe was under his control. Right? Then same with Napoleon. Half of Europe. Right? You know? And if you're talking about landmass, you know, without even doing much, you know, already Ivan, you know, had more than that. And then they expanded and took up, you know, probably double or triple of Europe. You know, and then along come some little short guys on short horses and make them pay tax. No?
They have different descriptions of that guy.
He's the...
Some say he was like really tall.
Yes, but when you're talking about guys that are 5 feet tall, really tall might be 5.5 feet.
5'10".
Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, because he was a monster, you know. But, you know, it's just like us. Well, people are around 6 feet, so big is, you know, 6.5. You know, like 7, whoa. Mm-hmm. You know, who's talking about, what's that guy? Can't remember. The giant guy? Princess Bride? No? Yeah. You know, or The Rock. You know, he's big. But, you know, he's just a little bit bigger than everybody else. So, that's there. I doubt that for the Swedes he would have been a big guy. And even if he was, okay, that's him. What about the rest of the guys that are biting on your ankles and all that, you know? But literally, I mean, in Hungary, they have the forefathers. There's one place in town where they have the square, where they have, you've seen?
Yeah.
They have all the, I think it's six or something like that, who started, came there and conquered and established it.
They have the sculpture.
Yeah, huge. I mean, life size, you know, of the guys there on their horses and their ponies. They're not full-size horses. They're not like these, you know, Arabian horses. They're like those big horses, you know. I said, remember, was on set for one Western, and you had a very famous actor who always was the hero, you know, in these Westerns.
Yeah.
And so he's always on a big horse, and everybody else is on small horses, because he's only like about 5 feet tall. And there was even one scene, there were scenes where they would dig a hole and the guy would stand in the hole and talk to him, you know, like that. And then one scene, because, okay, the men can stand in the hole, but he was doing some scene with the lady, you know. So she can't stand in the hole, you can't expect her. So then he was standing on a box, you know, it's like that. So, you know, they work it out. But back to whatever it is, however big they are. Like that, you have some nomads, and then they come in the biggest empire in the world. You know, it means at least contiguous landmass. You know, there's nothing compared to that size. And then these guys come in, and then, you know, make them pay tax. You know, the British Empire, had always the biggest. They controlled 1/4 of the landmass, 1/4. But now, you know, they can't even take care of, you know, one island, you know. 2/3 of the island wants to go somewhere else. So it's just, that's history. That's the material world. So the point is we focus on the situation, the technique, but it's actually the attachment, the third aspect. You have the Sachi Ananda, that's the attachment. That's the key. If we're attached to the material energy, then you can't be attached to Krishna. If you're attached to Krishna, you won't be attached to the material energy. So in the beginning, we're by mechanics and the intellect pulling ourselves away from the material energy. But the actual thing is, as you become attached to Krishna, then you won't be attached to material energy. So it's not the situation they're in. That's why it's being brought. They're village people, you know, householders, you know, Vaishyas just doing their thing, but they're not attached to the material nature. They're absorbed in Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj makes that statement, that's about the sadhakas, and then what about these? So they never perceive that. Any anxieties they have, it's all in connection with Krishna. So it's always giving transcendental ecstasy. Here, anxiety gives a problem, but there, no. So, yeah. I'm just saying is that there's that switch that we start here, but then there's a further aspect. That's the thing. They're attached to Krishna, as Prabhu was pointing out. That Stai Bhav, that Rakhi they have for Krishna is fixed. So therefore, no matter what's happening in the pastime, what situation they're in, it doesn't change. So prakat, aprakat, it's always the same for them. So in other words, just their interaction with each other and loving pastimes, eternally, that's the aprakat pastimes. Those pastimes, the continuing of those, and those pastimes that establish the human, how you say, activities and relationships, that's done in prakat. Right? You know, how do you establish a family? Right? People get married, there's birth, you know, there's the family expands. Therefore, it's family. Aprakat, they don't do that. It's already done in prakat. You know, once it's done, you don't have to keep doing it again. Is that makes sense? You know, it's that having set the situation, now you do the things within the situation. So it's about the attachment. But to set the scene, that's done in the prakat. And so then that's where we switch from one to the other. From looking at the situation to looking at the... Otherwise, we're looking at that Vrindavan, but we're seeing it as the place, what you can do with it, what results you can get from it, how you'll be happy doing that. And look how that worked out. We're here. So then going back there, then it's a matter of the attachment to Krishna. And then that increases to the point of prema. Then it's stable. Yeah? Bhava means material world. Thank you. Yeah. The condition in which they exist. Bhavanti. Though they appear among material persons, they do not have knowledge of material suffering. Vedanam, related to the material world. According to the dictionary, Vedana means knowledge and suffering. Because they go together, right? Ignorance is bliss, right? Anucheta 143. It is explained that Krishna appears like a material person for the people of Gokula. Prapancham nis prapanchopi vidam bhayasi bhutale prapanna janatalanda janatananda sandoham pratitum prapo. My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and initiate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.37. Right, so here, material life doesn't mean attachment to material nature. Material life means just ordinary activities. You know, just, you know, family, this and that, and herding the cows because it's your occupation, and like that. Because point is rasa needs to be expressed through something. Like you get some friends together, right? They haven't seen each other for some time, they get together. You know, there'll be a little chit-chat, then it's kind of, okay, what are we going to do? So that relationship is expressed through doing something. Right? But go somewhere, or go do something, or go get something to eat, or, you know, something. Some other external thing is there in which they express their relationship. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Some think that the Purna Brahma, becoming a son in Braja, is not real, not absolute, and that those devotees are an illusion. In reply to this, Brahma recites this verse. Though you are always beyond the material influence, you always are situated within the material world. And take up forms and relationships similar to material forms and relationships of sons. But your form and relationships are not false like those of material fathers and sons. Those forms and relationships, being transcendental, are real and eternal. Though your pastimes are eternal and beyond the material influence, they appear similar to material activities. Why do you need to imitate material activities? in order to increase even further the bliss that the devotees have tasted from some of your pastimes. As a lamp appears bright in the darkness, but is insignificant in the sunlight, or a diamond does not glitter on a white background, but appears brilliant against a dark background, the pastimes do not appear so astonishing in Vaikuntha as they do when performed in the material world. Though Vraja is spiritual, just as Krishna appears like a mortal person, so Vraja also appears like part of the material world. In this place, the pastimes appear most wonderful. Sardatta Darshini 10.14.37. Right, so it's just that comparison.
I've noticed that in this particular Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami quotes a lot from 14th chapter.
Yeah, Brahma.
Yeah.
Because it's establishing the actual eternal nature of the Lord and his pastimes and the devotees. And because Brahma ends up just, he'd like to be any living entity in Vrindavan that's going to be regularly get the dust from the lotus feet of the Brajavasis.
Also, these are very similar to Brahma Samhita Paras.
Ah, okay.
He's talking and then it can refer to aprakat pastimes or the prakat pastimes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So there's always that.
Yeah, because Brahma Samhita shows that aspect. You know, shows the position of Goloka, you know, how it's structured and everything, like you saw as Jiva Goswami was explaining, then a lot of purports are there from Brahma Samhita, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right, then all the activities is based around the 64 arts of the gopis. And Krishna knows the 64 arts, so that becomes the social interaction. And then you have, you know, in the home, you know, as the ashram side of it, and then all those 64 being applied there. And then you have the occupation where he goes out into the forest, and then those occupation, then applying those arts there. You know, because it's that, you know, like we said, that those qualities, the 50 qualities common with the devotees, and then the 4 qualities in which those 50 qualities are expressed. You know, so it's just a very nice situation. So you have both of those. You have in the home, you have out of the office. Like that.
Krishna's office in the field. It's really a good office.
Yeah, yeah, good office. Plenty of light and fresh air. Though you are beyond the material world, you imitate material life using Gokula. You seem to be born and say, "This is my father, this is my mother." Actually, however, Gokula is your sarup and only appears like the material world. So he's performing the pastimes that it seems that separate from him, but it's his sarup. The sarup means it's him. Sarup means what's the nature. Like the sarup of fire is that it has light and heat. So the sarup of Krishna is he performs wonderful pastimes in interacting with his devotees. So they may appear like the material world, because the material world is the reflection of the spiritual world. So they appear. So it's given that that's where those things happen. Because in Vaikuntha, they don't perform pastimes like that. That's more like the devatas, you know, like the gods. It's godly life. You know, and Dwarka is like in between godly life and human life. Right? And that human life we see is here. So even in the material world, the demigods and the demons, they feel themselves superior. So only on Bhumandala. And then in Bhumandala, then most of that is also lower heavenly planets. You know? It's not Bilaswarga, but it's Bhuswarga. Right? Bila means below, and Bhuswarga. But then on that, then you have Bharatvarsha. And that's where then the human-like pastimes. So, you know, so that's the thing. So it's very rare, you know, but they're originally from there. Why is there this imitation? By earthly pastimes, your surrendered devotees attain the highest bliss. Thus, it was correctly said that they are most fortunate. Brahma spoke thus the verse to the Lord. Right? Why? Because it brings about the bliss. Because remember, it's about ananda that people are making their endeavor. Here, people don't get ananda. They settle for removal of pain. And then they call that happiness. You know? It's just like, let's say you can't get good food, then whatever you can get, you call that food. Even though it may not be so great. So, you know, so like that. So it's that there is ananda, and that from performing all these wonderful pastimes. Because then, in these things, then it's just about, because the ananda is about, not about his greatness. The ananda is about the personal interaction. So the more it could be just that personal, simple, the greater the ecstasy. Does that make sense? So it's about dealing with him that's wonderful. Because the others, oh, he's God, therefore then we're dealing in all this. And yes, he is God. But then it doesn't get as, the happiness can't get as great as you're just dealing with the person. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, you went to, you know, whatever is the program, and, you know, thousands and thousands of people there, and, you know, you saw some big person, like, you know, either speak or perform or do something. And so you can go back, and people be talking, yeah, you know, that was a big thing. Yeah, I was there, you know, I saw him, it was really good, you know, the energy, it was, you know, like that. And so everybody, oh, wow, you were there, you know. But now if you can say, yeah, I met him backstage, and we had a laugh, and this and that, and... which is going to be higher. So that's the thing, is that we put it goes up like this because we're looking at how much power, how much of the six opulences I can get. And so when you see that's the maximum manifest, then that's going to be, we're taking that as a thing. And we're forgetting, no, it's the interaction. Like the rich man, he's working so hard, 16 hours a day, never is with the family. And then is surprised when the family walks out of him. You know, because he said, oh, I'm doing everything for you. Yes, but that's great. That's the situation. What about interacting? You know, but I gave you everything. No, but I wanted a dad. You know, that kind of stuff, right? Typical.
Well, nowadays the scenario is a bit different.
Oh, really? Okay.
They keep the guy and develop relationship on the side. Because he, you know, he gives good money. But their life is actually somewhere else.
Oh, okay, so they don't get rid of the guy.
No.
Okay.
Because he's a donkey.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anucheta 144. Tasam aviratam krishne kuravatinam sutek shanam napuna kalpate rajan samsaro jnana sambhavaha. O king, these cows and women who took Krishna as their son constantly were not qualified for samsara. Which produces ignorance. 10.640. Right? So these kinds of Krishna, constantly absorbed in Krishna, they're not qualified for samsara. That's why I was saying before earlier, they're not qualified. Because they're beyond. It means you have to be mundane to be qualified. The advantage of Krishna consciousness is described herein. Krishna consciousness gradually develops on the transcendental platform. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Master. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Friend. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Son. Or one may think of Krishna as the Supreme Conjugal Lover. If one is connected with Krishna in any of these transcendental relationships, the course of one's material life is understood to have already ended. That's interesting. One may think Krishna is the Supreme Personality. That's the Santa. So it's about the personality and then how, you know, everything is expanding from there. So you see everything in connection that is coming from the personality. Therefore, the Bhagavad Sandarbha, that it was all about how everything is, Krishna's expanded everywhere, but it's the person who's expanded everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So you see, his person has expanded everywhere. It's the person, but you're looking at everything around. Then that person controlling all that, you know, then that's closer. That's Paramatma. Then it comes, it's just the person. No need of control, no need of... Yes.
So as far as the tattva goes, then the Shanta Bhakto has all the knowledge required.
Yes.
As one moves up, it's only the level of their personal attachment that increases to the level.
Yes, yes. That's why you can see is in the pastimes, then those devotees in Shanta Ras then are famously the great rishis and like this. And so then they play that part of the rishi and can talk about Krishna and instruct and give instructions and all that. You know, because they're either Kshatriyas and Dwarka or they're Vaishyas and what do you call it?
Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan. But even if in Navadvipa, then they're sages and they're Grihasthas. You know, so it still works very, very well. But then when you add that, the two, then you get Paramatma, then you get the higher aspect, right? The Dasya and those other aspects. But when it's the three of them together, but the focus is on the person. Right? Does that make sense? So you have the Shanta where it's about his all-pervading, he is everything. But it's he is everything. But then it's he is controlling this everything. So you see it's closer. And then it's him. And these other aspects are naturally there. So that's why then the Brajvasis don't have a problem if that comes up about him, you know, being, somebody talks about him being the Lord, the controller of everything, or expanding everywhere. They don't have a problem. Yeah. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Chaktva Deham Purnar Janma Naiti Mam Eti. For such devotees, going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. Napuna Kalpate Rajan Samsaro Jnana Sambhavaha. This verse also guarantees that devotees who constantly think of Krishna in a particular relationship will never return to this material world. In this material world of samsara, there are the same relationships. One thinks, here is my son, here is my wife, here is my lover, or here is my friend. But these relationships are temporary illusions. Ajnana sambhavaha. Such a consciousness awakens in ignorance. But when the same relationships awaken in Krishna consciousness, when spiritual life is revived, right? In other words, spiritual life is there, otherwise they wouldn't use the term revived. Spiritual life is revived. You didn't take it forward. We regressed and came into the material world. Then when you get that attachment, it's revived. And then you now, having seen here, you're going to continue the attachment and go to prema.
Just from that paragraph, is it Srila Prabhupada?
Yes, yes.
It seems that he answers, without using the terminology, the question of having the inherent nature,
mm-hmm.
which didn't reach sthayi bhav.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because once sthayi is developed, you don't come back.
Yes.
But reviving means, like you explain, means it is inherent in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at that particular stage that tathasta, and then, you know, potential, and however we go, this way or that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then you continue, means probably farther than, you continue farther than when you left.
Yes.
Because before you didn't have that attraction to Krishna, not enough to make you go forward.
Yeah.
It may have been some interest in Krishna, but at the same time there was more interest in Krishna's energies.
Yeah.
You know? But now, then the interest is in Krishna, so then one continues forward. Therefore you even see someone who's just maybe very neophyte in Krishna consciousness. They remember Krishna at the time of death, they go back to Godhead. And then they continue from that platform and move forward. So they're actually doing better. Because we see like the Brahmins, now that's a tathasta position. Right? You know, you talk about Krishna and all this and that, and they see and like that and think, oh yeah, no, that's good, we should go there, but no, but then comes our position and or we're doing this technical yajna, so we can't do these things. And so,
yeah.
So that kind of a situation is that's what we did. You know, some will say, oh, but you can't be, like, you know, envious in the spiritual world. But the point is that's what's bringing out here, is that these wonderfulness of these pastimes are performed here in Gokula.
Yeah.
So what is this thing? There's no envy. Goloka, yes, there's no envy. But here? Why not? So he brings here to enhance the pastimes. So, you know, from that situation, the most wonderful opportunity to, you know, the opposite to the less wonderful opportunity. You know, being a Brajbasi, being Lord Brahma, up to you, which are you into? You into the prestige, power, authority, then Brahma is there. You want to love Krishna, then? Yes.
Also the point, most of the difficulty is when a person thinks Jiva is completely independent, that he can do whatever he wants. Like, by nature, we are spiritual, and then the Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, Shaktis are manifest in the Jiva to a minute extent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's similar to, you know, the Swarupa Shakti, how she manifests. But the thing is, it's minute, so it can be covered.
Mm.
Because of which the material energy can cover and then we fall. But as soon as one reaches the stage of Sai's thigh, then he's connected to directly the Swarup Shakti. So there is no point of external energy covering the internal energy. So, But the problem is our perspective is always the Jiva himself is independent. So the situation should adjust to the Jiva, so that's how...
That's interesting. That makes sense, because we're thinking of our independence and our happiness. You know, the I'm controller and enjoyer. Therefore, then we try to say this, oh, it's not inherent in the Jiva, or you can't fall from there, or this or that, and all these things. But the point is we're minute. We have to work under the Krishna's energy. You know, Prabhupada also gives an example of the prison. The warden and the guards and you know, the people who work in the office, they come and go, they interact with prisoners, but they're not under the control of the prison. You know, no, but they're here, they're doing... No, but they're not prisoners.
Still, from here also we can see the attachment to the Lord is the primary thing that that defines everything, whether it is spiritual or material.
Material, yeah. It's simply where the attachment lies.
Yeah. I guess on the stage of sadhana, the difficulty that we experience is that the attachment is oscillating. You know, sometimes it's in Krishna consciousness, sometimes it's in metta, then again in the Krishna consciousness, then again, and then we feel like it would be nice to say like we swing, but actually we just tore the pot. You know, and this is what, you know, makes it that difficult, because in one purport, I'm not sure where, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that he says, he compares Vaidhi and Rag Sadhana, and he says that Rag Sadhana is completely free, but Vaidhi, it feels like prison, because it's all about rules and regulations. And in the Veda itself, It's based on that, on rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. What you shouldn't do first, and you know, there's a lot what we shouldn't do. And this is, you know, what people usually start saying, you shouldn't do this and like that. And of course, what you should do, but still you're very limited in your freedom. And this is why the feeling of vaiti is like so tense. Mm. But then rag, you know, it's natural. So the feeling of freedom is there completely. This is one of the reasons why that process is superior than the vaiti.
Mm. But it's also, but the key point is the attachment.
Yeah.
Rag means attachment.
Yeah.
So when that's there, then it goes beyond this. That's why then sahajiyas try to go for that, because they're trying to get their freedom and their sense gratification. In other words, how to claim that you're the highest but still be just about control and enjoyment. And that's the sahajiyas.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah. You know, or the smart is, it's the other way. You know, they control and therefore everything's there, and then. Yeah.
So modern day capitalist and modern day labor. Capitalists are the smartest and laborers are the
smartest. Yeah, they do whatever they want.
Full pay, no work.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But when the same relationships awaken in Krishna consciousness, one's spiritual life is revived, and one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead. Even though the gopis, so guaranteed, so that's one of the points, as you advance and you more and more understand, it's guaranteed. It is guaranteed, but you get that faith. Right? Even though the gopis were friends of Rohini and Mother Jashoda, and who allowed their breasts to be sucked by Krishna, were not directly Krishna's mothers, they all had the same chance as Rohini and Jashoda to go back to Godhead and act as Krishna's mothers-in-law, servants, and so on. The word samsara refers to attachment for one's body, home, husband or wife, and children. But although the gopis and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan had the same affection and attachment for husband and home, their central affection was for Krishna in some transcendental relationship, and therefore they were guaranteed to be promoted to Goloka in Vrindavan in the next life, to live with Krishna eternally in spiritual happiness. The easiest way to attain spiritual elevation is to be liberated from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. It is recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishnara, samsara, kara, chari, anachara. One should give up all sinful activities and remain in the family of Krishna. Then one's liberation is guaranteed. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.40. Yeah,
I think also Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses that term indifference. So when the jiva is indifferent to Krishna Lila, he becomes, you know, of course it's a process that happens beyond time and space. So it's not a linear thing. I mean, it's hard to imagine. But he explains that the jiva starts to wander and look around, and then looking into the direction of material phenomena, then he becomes interested. And then that's it. So it's indifference, actually. Like, yeah, something's here, but let's check out, you know, what's there.
So that's the point, that tatasta, you can choose either way.
Yeah.
But the inherent nature is to serve Krishna. Because, you know, as it said, they're small, they can't not work under superior energy. You know, and that energy is controlled by Krishna. So in other words, they will be dependent on Krishna. They'll have the relationship with Krishna. So it's either directly through the internal or indirectly through the external. You know, even you like your car, it's Krishna's potency that makes the car likable. Right? Yeah. You know, it's just like, okay, you have your pencil, right? And you're using the pencil, and is everything ecstatic about the pencil? You know, sometimes, you know, it breaks, or you get some on your hand or on your cloth, you got to get it off, or, right?
Yeah.
So what's the pencil lead made from?
What's the pencil?
Lead. You know the black part in the middle of the rice?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's that name?
Graphite.
Graphite, right? It's carbon.
Yeah, carbon.
So now if we take that and put it in another form and make a car out of it, now suddenly it's so fabulous. Like that. And somebody comes up and kicks it, and then your fender falls off. Literally. And then your pocketbook falls off. You know, to replace that. So it's Krishna's potency that makes it so fabulous. It's not the thing itself. Yeah. You know, it's like seeing something. I think it's out in the Middle East there somewhere, and like that. People have all these Lamborghinis and Ferraris and this and that, but at some point they get tired of them, or this, or don't want to pay the tax on them because you know they have too many of them. And they just leave it out in the desert. You could go out in the desert and just find perfectly good cars and like that. You know, you make a business going there, collecting those, taking them to the West, so you get them for free, so it's only the transport, right?
Sounds like a plan. Now we know what to do during the holidays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going to collect some cars in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. Like that, yeah. Get tomorrow.
Send the guy.
I call it. I say, you have the Bengali saying, "Rat Deka Kola Becha." Means Rat Deka means see the Rath Yatra, mm-hmm. and at the same time sell your bananas.
Yeah.
So he's a banana seller, but he goes see the Rath Yatra. All the people he sells his bananas while he's seeing the Rath. So. You go to the kirtans, the association at the same time.
So if you see all those Lamborghinis at least one here, so you understand the plan worked.
Here?
Where are you going to sell them?
Oh, no. You have to do somewhere else. Oh, Bombay, maybe.
Delhi has the
maximum. Okay.
They have?
There are many Lamborghinis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have
you have in Calcutta, you have a Ferrari showroom. Yeah.
Because in Italy,
Ferrari, Porsche.
It was my first Lamborghini in Masma. Lamborghini is, I think, the first one came recently. They didn't have before.
Where?
Israel.
In Israel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They have Maserati, they have Ferrari, Porsche, of course, but.
Didn't have Lamborghini.
Yeah, it's
already
many years.
Yeah. So, like that.
Okay.
You're working hard. Okay. So, yeah. So, once you give up all sinful activities and remain in the family of Krishna, right in the association of devotees, because that's how it is. The Brajvasis are there. They're always associating with Krishna. They're always associating with others who are associating with Krishna. And so that becomes perfect. These women of Raja were not qualified for the material world, but were qualified for the spiritual world, since the material world is produced from ignorance, right? So they were not in ignorance. They were on Shudra Sattva, so they weren't qualified for the material world. They existed beyond even prema, which is above jnana. Jnana is the sun, which eradicates the darkness of ignorance. They had beginningless avirdatam prema, called Vatsalya for Krishna, taking him as their son. What then can be said of others? The gopis endowed with Madhura Prema, which will be shown later in different pastimes, who meditated on Krishna in the Maha Yoga Pita, and whom Krishna knew by their personal names. Sugadev spoke thus the verse. So, jnana removes ignorance. Prema is above jnana. And they're above prema. Right? Let alone the gopis, right? Anucheda 145. Antar griha gata kaschid gopyo labdha vinir gama Krishnam tad bhavana yukta dhadyur milita lochana. Some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses, and instead they remained home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29.9. Nachayvam Vishmaya Karyo Bhavata Bhagavat Yaje Yogeshware Krishne Yata Etad Vimuchate. Oh, Yogeshware Shware Krishne. Yogeshware Shware Krishne Yata Etad Vimuchate. You should not be so astonished, since he is Bhagavan, unborn and the unborn master of all masters of mystic yoga, endowed with the complete manifestation of qualities and liberates this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-16. Dushaha Preshta Viraha Tivra Tapa Duta Shubha Dhyana Prapach Praptach Yuta Shlesha Nirvrigya Kshina Mangala. For those gopis who could not go to see Krishna, intolerable separation from their beloved caused an intense anxiety that burned away the pain of temporary separation. By meditating upon him, they realized his embrace and experienced the bliss of a sudden internal realization of meeting him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-10:16. The first verse is clear in meaning. These gopis had misfortune, ashubha, in the form of obstacles to attain Krishna, such as fear of elders. They became auspicious by attaining Krishna, mangalam, through thinking of their friendship with him. However, karma bandhanam janma vaishnavanam cha vidyate. Vaishnavas do not have bondage of karma or material birth. Padma Purana 6:229-58. Words like inauspicious and auspicious, denoting material karma, are also seen elsewhere in impossible contexts. Vatsyat yurasi me bhutir bhavat pada hatam hasaha. Lakshmi will consent to reside on my chest because your foot has rid my chest of sins. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:89-11. One should therefore seek another meaning of the Lord's words. Right? So when you have these words where it's showing about the Lord or the devotees being influenced by karma or auspicious or inauspicious, he's saying that that context is not, that's not actually the situation. So you have to look at something else. So there you can't use the direct, you have to use the indirect. Right? The lakshana rather than the abhida view of the words, right? Because the connotation of the word is what, it means the potency of connotation is what words are for. So what you're going to connote is going to be, you know, a particular meaning. Now, the direct meaning of all the shastras is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, and that the we're servants and we serve him with bhakti. So that's the eternal principles, right? So that means anything else in karma, jnana, or yoga, that's also, that's indirect. It's not the actual purpose, right? So in other words, in all verses, you should be working, you should be understanding in a way that establishes devotional service and Krishna's transcendental position, and the transcendental service position of devotional service, right? That's the proper way. So therefore, you may be using the direct meaning or the Abhida Shakti or the Lakshana Shakti, direct or indirect, depending upon what it's discussing. So to bring out the pastimes, he says all those things like he's an ordinary person. But we know he's transcendental. So you can't take it, oh, he's saying he's just normal, therefore, you know, that's the way it is. You know, because even if you're saying, well, he's ordinary, and he says he's ordinary, so we should take that as authority. But since when do you take an ordinary person's statement as authority? Right? You take transcendental as authority. So if authority has to be transcendental. So if we're taking Krishna's statement, he's just an ordinary person, as authority, then you have to accept his transcendental position to accept that statement as authoritative. Well, yeah. One should therefore seek another meaning of the Lord's words. Similarly, regarding these gopis, another meaning must be found, as explained above. Tam eva paramatmanam jara bhudyapi sangata jahur guna mayam deham sadya prakshina bandhana. By meditating upon him, they realize his embrace and experience the bliss of a sudden internal realization of meeting him. Although Krishna is the Supreme Soul, these girls simply thought of him as an illicit lover and associated with him in that intimate mood. Thus they destroyed obstacles to meeting him and gave up bodies having gunas. Right? So any flavor or anything that is there, that would be gone. Right? So makes sense. So the point is it doesn't matter. You have that attachment to Krishna, there is no material existence. Right? So that makes sense. So even if, let's say, we're taking the bodies made out of the five Mahabhutas, but it's not controlled by the modes of nature. The soul is free, is absorbed in Krishna, they're on the transcendental platform. So, you know. Or if you're taking it because they have the aspect is there's the material form and then the spiritual, now they function in the spiritual form. Does that make sense? Because the material form is covering the spiritual and now they're only acting in the spiritual form. If that doesn't confuse things.
Well, it actually does. Many people, they can't figure it out. You know, see that they have lust of seed.
Because they're in that form. They're not here, and then a sadhaka's there. They may be bhav sadhakas, but it's in their sarup. But it doesn't mean that it's not has coverings of not being attracted to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? And so then those coverings go. You know what I'm saying? Just like this. Covering is an upadhi. So you have a gopi, right? She's married to a cowherd, you know, a man, right? Now that cowherd man thinks, this is my wife. But are they technically his wife?
No.
No. So that means that upadhi is the covering. So that upadhi stays home at night with their husband in bed. So the husband sleeps at night with his upadhi, that material covering. But the gopi, this the eternal servant of Krishna, goes to the rasa dance. You know? And it's just like so many times you have an idea of what a person is, and others have a different idea. So these are all material coverings. Like that. So the point is when you come to this point, you're unaffected by those. But those who haven't, they're affected by them. So it's a bit more subtle than... So even if you're dealing with the spiritual form, still you have upadis. What it means, the demon who comes into Vrindavan sees, oh, here's the absolute truth, the transcendental personality of Godhead. They just see some kid that they're going to kill. You know, I'm big, you're small. You know, Aristasura comes in, his tail, you know, up in the air is moving the clouds. You know, so he's thinking, you know, he's very convinced he has a very good chance of killing Krishna. Right? So what are they dealing with? They're dealing with the upadis. They're on the material platform. So for the gopis, it's just, this gives us an opportunity in this situation to be with Krishna. Because it means... The unmarried gopis, I mean, now, are they going to move around on their own? Or they're always going to be with some family or relative? You know, somebody, some chaperone is going to be there. So, by being married, you can move around more freely. Right? You're going to go with your friends. Like when Radharani goes to Nandagam in the morning, she goes with all the other, you know, Lalita, Vishaka, and all the others. They don't have to have their mothers there because they're married women. You know, so just by nature, the girls won't go alone. You know, because otherwise, why would it be just one girl? You increase the rasa by there being many. Right? So it's naturally going to be part of the culture in Vrindavan that girls move around together. They don't move around on their own. But they're able to move around. They don't have to take their moms with them. If their moms are there, can they talk about Krishna? No. So therefore, the being married is an advantage. Is that... Yeah. Though he is concluded to be within all creatures from Brahma down to the plants, Paramatmanam, it is shown that for these gopis, he was the source of the highest prema. Right? Because Paramatma is there, but unless you're absorbed, then no one's gaining prema from there because they're not, you know, thinking of him. They thought of their relationship with him as an illicit love, jara buddhya, but they did not attain a form of that quality. The worship became stronger by displaying that mood. The word jara shows that they had jara buddhaya shows that they had surpassed consideration of social rules and shows the uncontrolled nature of their particular bhava. They rejected obstacles to attaining Krishna in the form of living among opposing elders. Right, so how to get through that? They just sat down, closed their eyes, and meditated on Krishna. They just wanted them to be in their rooms, so you can't go out, so they sit in their rooms and meditate on Krishna. Pariksit had doubts about the phrase gunamayam deha jahu. They gave up material bodies. So it means, so, you know, the doubt, like I said, the doubt comes up, so therefore it's been dealt with. Krishnam vidhu param kantam natu brahmataya mune guna pravaho paramas tasam guna diyam katam. O sage, the gopis knew Krishna only as their lover, not as the supreme Brahman with no qualities. So how could these girls, their minds absorbed in his qualities, give up their qualities and take another body? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-12. O sage, they knew Krishna as their lover only, param, not as Brahman. How could they give up the influence of the material gunas? Right? Because only when you go to that transcendent, you know, the Brahman, then you're, you know, above the gunas, right? If one has concentrated on Brahman, the person will give up the influence of the material gunas, since the person would acquire the quality of nirguna by his meditation. However, when they meditate on him as their lover, with the manifestation of qualities surpassing material qualities by absorption in those qualities, how could they give up those qualities, since those qualities were related to the highest goal? Right? So those qualities won't be given up. So they meditate on Krishna, you know, in affection. So those qualities of Krishna they're meditating on, the qualities they have in their meditation, the qualities of Krishna, those won't be given up because they're transcendental. On Brahman, you're having material qualities, you're using those to meditate on Brahman, you give up the material qualities. It's just Brahman. Or did they not attain liberation, the highest goal? By mentioning that they did not see him as Brahman, which is free of suffering, it is indicated that their consciousness was absorbed in his qualities, such as the supreme beauty, while rejecting fixation in Brahman, guna dhyan. This is explained in the next verse, because it is difficult to understand, like the story of Puranjana. What was stated in the verses has been explained here. That's people thinking Puranjana, its only point is it's an analogy, rather than it's about the king. Narad Muni as a person is talking to the king as a person and trying to get him to understand his position. It can be explained by an example. Shishupal and Dantavaka were Jaya and Vijaya. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha were completely spiritual, having no material body, senses, or life heirs. Therefore, please tell the story of how they became bound with bodies in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:135. How could two spiritual forms develop material bodies? Even the Lord said this. The Lord spoke to his two associates. Go to the material world. Do not be afraid. You will have good fortune. But also, do not go
to
that world. Though I can nullify the curse of the Brahmanas, I do not desire to do so against my own rules. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:16:29. Padma Purana explains, Itam jaya vijayau sanakadi sapta vyajena kevalam bhagavato lilartam samsritav avatirya. Thus Jaya and Vijaya, on the pretext of the curse of the Kumaras, appeared in the material world for the Lord's pastimes. By the will of the Lord, which makes the impossible possible, they took three births in material bodies made of the gunas, for his actions like fighting and playing, in order to attract the minds of his devotees, though they had possessed spiritual bodies with all siddhis. Right, so this also shows that you can have a spiritual body, get a material body, go back to your spiritual body. The people say, no, you can't do that. If you had a spiritual body, how would you? Yes?
Does it mean, Maharaj, that their spiritual form remained up there?
Not necessarily. Point is here it's covered. So even if it was arranged that they're still there performing their service, but then they expand and come here and then do that, their forms here get covered, just like our spiritual forms are covered by this material form. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, you have your jacket. The jacket has arms. Why does it have arms? Because you have arms.
Yeah.
So we have arms that because the spiritual body has. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In the commentary on Krishna Chakra Hatam Hasau, Sridhar Swami comments, by the chakra of Krishna, the two had their sins destroyed. Their sins were destroyed, but not the two of them. Right? So the sins were destroyed, but not them. Because the body is then based on material situation, but because the sins were destroyed doesn't mean that they were destroyed. They, the souls, the slave, and then now they become spiritual. Right? Go. Thus, by the will of Krishna alone, these gopis, when blocked from meeting Krishna, were able to meet him in their spiritual bodies. Right? So, yeah, even though if you can still see, the husbands could still see the wife in the room, that they met Krishna in the spiritual form. So, yes?
I think it may come up a little bit later that when a devotee and all or even Krishna appears in the world, the Mahamaya naturally, she does her work. She covers, there is a covering automatically for the materialists. Mm-hmm. They cannot see Krishna, like even mm-hmm. the story of Shishupal,
mm-hmm.
when he was seeing Krishna, he was actually not seeing Krishna, he's seeing the materialistic aspect of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the covering is for the materialist. They cannot see, and it is Maya Devi who makes the covering.
Mm-hmm. So that would be also the difference between the prakat and aprakat. Prakat, then there's no covering. Aprakat, there's no covering, but in the prakat, there'll be a covering because that's how the materialist sees.
The
materialist doesn't see otherwise. You know, it's just like when Krishna went into the arena. You know, so many different people saw him in so many different ways. Right? But he is who he is. He's not covered by any of this.
So basically when a devotee realizes and goes to...
More fun, no? Saying the subtleness is even getting more now.
So when a devotee realizes this point as the Mahamaya just covers the materialistic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's when then he sees no difference between the prakat lila, between
Yeah, because it's the same thing. It's just the one has that, so it's visible.
And then that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was mentioning in Krishna Samhita about that the secret knowledge is that the devotee can pray even to Maya Devi to engage his senses in Krishna's service, and she does it because she is Krishna's devotee. And then this science of how it happens, transform the material to spiritual, that is beyond the adhikar of kanishtha devotees to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So this book actually is not meant for them. That is the reason he mentions today that this.
Mm-hmm. Because the this book means
the Krishna Samhita.
Oh, Krishna Samhita.
So then the kanishtha devotees, they are very much attached to their perspective of knowledge or the perspective of the entire spiritual things. That's why they're still attached to the time and space concept and all. We want to see it that way. That's the reason we can't go beyond and see, appreciate the entire transcendental thing.
Mm. It just certainly, so the time and space, we always say time and space continuum, so that they're always continuing in the material consciousness. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, remember we were seeing, Prabhupada was making the point that the devotees, the pure devotees, don't actually see the material world, they see Krishna. They know that everything that's there is wonderful because it's Krishna. It's his energy and all that, it's not actually the material world. Material world is that illusory covering that it's separate from Krishna. That's technically called the material world. But when that's removed, then it's not. So it's illusory. Means you can say from that, it's illusory, the material world, that you think it's separate from Krishna. It exists. It's there. Yeah.
And even to run the creation, the main principle is the Lord and His devotees. As we saw in the towards the end of Paramatma Sandarbha, that the primary function of time is when the Lord desires to perform pastimes, so that His appearance and devotee's appearance is the mode of passion, the time in the mode of passion, and His performance of the pastimes is goodness. And then when He desires to take rest at the end of pastimes, that is mode of ignorance. So the whole material creation is functioning on that principle as primary. And all other activities of all the demons, like who desire to grow, then in the mode of passion time, then they flourish in the mode of goodness time, so devotees flourish.
Mm, yes.
They are just adjusting according to whichever situation.
Is there, what was the passion you said? Krishna's
appearance in the beginning. When Krishna and devotees appear, that
the
performance of the pastimes.
Okay.
Because that's what triggers Krishna's and devotees' appearance when demons are flourishing in passion.
Okay. Then they appear. And performing the pastimes is goodness.
Goodness.
Okay. Their appearance, and then when he rests. Also like that, it was mentioned, I think it was some time back, it's talking about time. It says movement of Krishna's arm, that's time. So performing the pastimes, his movement, that's time. And then that becomes then expense here as time. Yeah. No? Going too far?
No, well, I mean, those discussions, they need the deeper,
contemplation?
Contemplation, exactly. Contemplation. Because it's... yeah, it's very subtle.
But you can see it's not actually academic. It's not that it's logical in that. No, it's a matter of the appreciation of the what's being presented by the acharyas. It's still just as simple. It's just that you can accommodate more aspects.
Yeah.
The achinta beta beta tattva, you can apply it more.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the thing, is that some may approach it by an academic pursuit, and you'll see that they start up than they do, and they get into the Sanskrit and that. But how far they'll get, that's another thing, because then, you know, from that point, it'll be just so technical that it'll become too dry. If you're looking at it from the devotional, then it doesn't become dry because it's just discussion of Krishna's pastimes. Does that make sense? You know, hence, they say, not including him, but buff heads like us can sit and discuss this. Leslie, that would be what do you call it? That would be the wrong pronunciation. I think the pronunciation is boof heads.
Boof
head means, you know, just an idiot, a fat head. Like, you know, he has brain. Okay. Okay. Thus, by the will of Krishna alone, these gopis, when blocked from meeting Krishna, were able to meet him in their spiritual bodies. The cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's yoga maya, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. They did not harbor any jealous feelings against him at any time, because they never thought they left. But for the gopis, they're giving up all attachments to home and everything to go be with Krishna. But because they're meditating on Krishna, then yoga maya, there is no gunas anymore, there is no material body, they go in their spiritual form. But the husbands are seeing that, you know, the upadi, the wife and the family and children and everything, and that's all staying there because they left behind all, you know, Krishna says, you gave up everything. But that everything stayed at home. So they never got jealous of Krishna that they were, you know, you have for the pastimes that Jatilas, you know, following around whenever Radharani moves around because she goes out, so she's always coming to check. You know, it adds to the pastime, you know, that you have that wonderful pastime with someone's come and said that maybe it's Manu Mangal, or someone comes and says that, you know, Krishna's, I think Krishna himself, when he comes, because he just dresses up as Abhimanyu because they look the same, then, you know, he interacts with Jatila as Abhimanyu. And then he's saying, you know, I'm going out, but going, you know, like this, but I've heard Krishna has a plan and a trick, and he's going to come here and try and dressed up as me. I mean, you know, and love this. And so then Jatila's ready with her stick, and then when Abhimanyu actually comes home, she goes out and beats him and everything, saying that he's Krishna. And, you know, and Krishna's with Radharani. So it is just some fun. Or they go out, you know, like that. They're at the Jamuna and Jatila comes out and all that. And they're in the Kunj. Like that, all the gopis are all there. And so then, and then she suddenly comes in. And then Krishna takes the form of Kali. You know, it's the same bodily color and all that, and all that. And the gopis then just start doing the puja, you know, because they have everything for Radha Krishna, flowers and everything nice. So they just start the puja and all that. They go, oh, okay, you're all worshipping, and that goes. So it just creates some wonderful, wonderful pastimes. Because just as you have separation, but then when you are with the person and you can't interact, that separation is worse. So just like you're with the person in Sambho, but then if it looks like you're not with the person and no one else knows that, then that gives even a more special taste. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That they're together, but no one else can tell. So then... Is that all right? Too far the other way?
No, it's good.
Okay.
Also, there is a word called Abhiman, which we use it for. It's actually representing ego.
Mm.
So when Abhiman is material, means your identification, ahankara, then everything, the whole material creation is manifest. So your body, gross body, subtle body is. But when the Abhiman is completely spiritual, which is ahankriti, then it's all, you have your spiritual body, the whole, all the qualities associated with it. So this, that's where the shift is. Somebody who has only material identification, what he wants is already there. So as if you see from the coward perspective, though they themselves are spiritual, but like the best example can be in that sense that if they are material, then whatever they can connect to is already there. There is nothing, you know, what they think is not appropriate. Whatever they need and whatever they can pursue is there. The material aspect of the bodies and then the, how yeah. they interact with the person and use their body. So in that sense there is no fault. This explanation comes later.
Right? Oh, okay. It's coming up.
Jiva Goswami explains that there is no fault on any level.
Okay.
There's no what?
Fault.
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 Yeah, so it means there's no fault, the gopis have gone. And there's no fault, the gopis' material forms are still there. So the family life is all that, but they've gone. But the point is that the soul has surrendered to Krishna and left all that. That's the whole point of giving up everything for Krishna. Because otherwise they can stay at home and just deal on that level. So that's the difference. When you just take that as the identity, then the next stop is here. You know, on the material side. This side of Viraja. Right? But if not, then you stay that side. And you don't come this side. But that's what it means by you look this way. You look across the Viraja to this material. Because you look at Upadis, you look at that, that's the identity. That's the, so in Ahankara instead of Ahankrita.
Also the name Abhimanyu is coming from that Abhiman.
Oh.
Abhiman in English, is it an impression? Abhiman. I mean, there are many
Abhiman.
It's kind of like the mood, you know, like the youth. They have their mood of that what do you call it? Youthful arrogance, you know, or the kshatriya, you know that dharmic and heroic, and these are all Abhiman. That was the whole thing in the dramas that the you have to know the Abhiman has its natural forms. You know, it's just like, you know, you're going to do something heroic, you know, so if they think that the sword is up like this, you know. But let's say, you know, you're in the discussion in the assembly and someone's making some comments that are, you know, maybe pointing out some of your weaknesses or this or that. Then, you know, the sword's in the sheath, you're going to grab it like this and then speak, you know. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you can back up your words, you know. So, you know, it's like, I'm speaking these things, you know, but if you don't want to talk, then, you know, so...
Temperament.
Huh?
Temperament.
Does that make any sense? Temperament?
Yeah, temperament, of course.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that whole thing together, is you have the mood, but the temperament means then also the expression of it, the forms of it, the situations of it, the actions of it. All that together will be. Because having a mood on its own, then it's also, it has that, you know, generic thing, that impersonal thing. Then you put it together, you know, then it has, that's the pastimes. So, what goes with what, this, that, that's the mechanics, that's the kriya. But that is being performed in that way to please Krishna, that's the pastime. So that's the icha. You know, so there's aspects of them that they all have. That exists, it has its knowledge and skills, but it's done for Krishna. So in other words, if you're only taking the one, then it becomes, if you only take the sad aspect, it's just the existence of things and the technical relationships and that knowledge on it. Then what would be the mechanics of how it would be applied and everything like that that actually gets results, that would sad and chit, so that gets the kriya. But when it's done just to please Krishna, that's the pastime, Satchit Anand. Because we take it, there's Sat, there's Chit, there's Ananda, so we become confused. But Chit means Sat and Chit. Because otherwise, no, but it's, why is it called, why is Chit called knowledge when Sambandha Jnana is in the, you know, the relationships and all that? That's because that's the Sat. Then with Sat and Chit. Because if you just, if this is a rug, but until you know what the rug's for and all, then Now you call that knowledge. It's a rug. Okay, that's the basic. But when you know how to use it, that's then the actual knowledge. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why in the Vedic, scholars aren't taken as knowledgeable. They're respected for having knowledge, but they're not actually seen as knowledgeable because they only know facts and figures. They don't know actually how to use it. Yes?
That's why Buddhi is called intelligence. Sanskrit word for actual intelligence means Buddhi.
Mm.
And that intelligence is defined as able to apply in a practical situation, able to apply some theoretical knowledge in a practical situation.
That's called
Buddhi. According to the context. If you're inconsiderate, then you say, like normally in our local language, you say, you don't have Buddhi.
Mm.
You don't have intelligence.
Oh, okay. So that's the meaning of they're a fool. Because we take it a fool means he has no knowledge. We're saying you don't know how to use the knowledge. That's why you're a fool. Cool.
So unless you apply the knowledge, then it's not called intelligence.
Intelligence.
That's how then it's not.
Yeah. Because I mean the words and that are there to apply. Okay. That's cool. So Bhuti Yoga, applying the theory. Okay. Okay. Entering into a material body was a temporary event. Thus the phrase Jahur Gunamayam Deham. They gave up material bodies, right? Because he asked, how could this happen? It's such an auspicious occasion and that. How would there be like that? Cannot indicate their real bodies because then the description would be rendered meaningless. Jaya and Vijaya had an appearance of hatred for the Lord by the power of remembering him, even in hatred. After giving up the upadis, demon bodies, and disappearing, attained the Lord. Similarly, the gopis, by the power of their affection for Krishna, attained him. Krishna attracts the mind of the devotee. Ah, such is the sweetness in Krishna that because of that sweetness, they would give up their lives in order to meet him directly. So they give up lives, meaning your upadis, and take up real life of service to Krishna. Yeah? Good? That keeps going. Okay, so then this is for the next point, or this is the last one?
This is for this
point. This one. Narinam ni shreya sartaya vyakir bhagavato nripa avyayasya prame yasya nirgunasya gunatmanaha. O King, the Supreme Lord is inexhaustible and immeasurable. He is untouched by the material modes because he is their controller. His personal appearance in this world is meant for bestowing the highest benefit on humanity. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-14.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.